It's Bill Engvall.
Hi, hey. Bill.
You got to love a guy who calls his own phone.
Oh, I love it.
Comes out in his own interviews. I can't tell you, Bill, how many times we get somebody says, yeah, so-and-so's on the line. Would you like to talk to him? Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I've never been that way. Now, I will say this. We got to get you guys on a different time zone.
Yeah.
If we could move to your time zone and be in the sunshine, I think we'd be okay with
that. Yeah, we'd go there.
Yeah, well, it'd be also a lot later.
Yeah.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
We're good. Dad, he's probably had to gargle with mouthwash and
do some vocal warm-ups. Me.
If you want to believe that, go ahead.
He's sitting in his boxers on the edge of his bed talking to us, right?
No, because I'm married. I don't, A, she wouldn't let me wear boxers, and B, she would let me do the interviews on the side of the bed.
Well, Bill, we are just a few days away from having you join us here in Bloomington in Illinois State University's Braden Auditorium on Saturday, October 3rd.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I'm going to get to go to the game and meet the president of the university and have a great time there. And I'm really honored that they've picked me for family weekend to come in. And, you know, I think it all goes back to the days of, you know, early on when I started this business, that I learned real quickly that if you want to work a long time, you work clean and you work relatable.
Are you going to get a chance to meet Coach Spack, too?
I don't know about that. They've got a pretty hefty schedule for me once I get there.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, because he is a superstitious head coach, and one of the things that he likes to do is send his intern off to get his big gulp. He gets like a Diet Pepsi, and he sends his intern off, and he says that every time he does that, he wins. So maybe if we
you got to go with what works.
Yeah,
you know?
Maybe we could tell him that Bill Engvall is going to bring him his big gulp.
No, I'm not going to be the one to throw it, because God forbid if they lost, they would bring it on me.
It would be Bill Engvall makes ISU Redbirds lose.
That'd be the headline. I'll let some other little kid have the joy of going to get a big gulp of Diet Coke.
You know, I really like, you made the comment about keeping it clean and being family friendly, and that's the one thing people love about you. They can take their kids to see you. Is it harder to kind of always maybe take the high road on jokes sometimes? Because sometimes there's really easy ones, you know?
Right. Well, let me say this. I'm not selling myself as Disney on Ice.
You're not going to be in
the Wiggles. We're going to talk about real life stuff, but I learned a long time ago, you can talk about whatever you want as long as you do it clean. You know, like if I say to you, my wife and I are getting romantic, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't have to go into the details.
Right, absolutely.
But to answer your question, yes, it is more difficult. But I think audiences appreciate it more. You know, it's like some of the stuff people are going to see there in Normal is, we're going to talk about my experience on Dancing with the Stars, to having a knee replacement, to having kidney stones, to getting shingles, to all of a sudden my wife, after 33 years of marriage, deciding she wants to hear about my old girlfriends, which is really weird.
She's trying to keep it fresh, Bill. That's what that is.
That's when you know you've been married a long time, is when your wife actually wants to think about you with other women.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, it's kind of insulting, really, because what she's saying is, hey, tell me about the time when women found you attractive.
You talked about all of this stuff, having like knee replacements, shingles, all that stuff as you aged. Did all of that stuff happen after you were on Dancing with the Stars or during?
Yeah, it all happened last year. And I told my wife, I said, I'm scared to go to the doctor anymore. And she said, why? And I said, because I'm afraid he's going to look at you and just go, ma'am, just sell him for parts.
Was Dancing with the Stars one of the coolest things that you've been able to do?
Yeah, it really was. It was one of the probably one of the best things I ever did for my career, and I didn't ever see that coming. It was 12 million people a week for 13 weeks. Don didn't know who I was or what I did for a living, but it was one of those brutal things I ever did in my life. I mean, I literally had to have a total knee replacement. I lost 35 pounds, tore my groin, pulled my hamstring. But if they called me and asked me to do it again, I would.
Oh, it was amazing.
That much fun. Yeah, it was really a blast.
What was your favorite dance to do on Dancing with the Stars?
The only dance I'd ever done was honky tonking.
Uh-huh.
You know, throw one arm here and the other hand and scoot around the floor. You know, so in fact, if they let me do that dance, I probably would have won the thing. But that and the Argentine tango were really my favorite.
Now, were you surprised at how far you made it in the show?
Yes, as was everybody in the free world. And listen, it wasn't my dancing that got me to the finals. It was the fans.
Fans are great.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I think what happened was that Emma and I kind of became this father-daughter team. And, you know, I think people love the fact that, you know, here I'm dancing with this smoking hot 24-year-old girl, but at the end of the dance, I run over and kiss the 53-year-old woman.
Right, yeah.
Right. You know where your bread's buttered, you know.
Yeah, listen. Well, and of course, you know, that's what, you know, my friends were killing me. They were like, man, because I used to have to take Emma on the road with me because, you know, we'd have to rehearse. And, they're all like, oh, my God, I can't believe you get to take a 24-year-old hot British girl on the road and your wife don't go. And I go, yeah, I go, because that's what every 24-year-old smoking hot dancer wants is a 53-year-old, man with white hair and sore knees. Yeah. I love the fact that, guys, we just assume that every girl finds us attractive.
Oh, I know.
I really think it would be funny if you could have one day where the women were brutally honest. She goes, you know what, sir, I got to be honest with you. If you were the last man on earth, I really wouldn't go out with you. I think men's egos would be so bruised. It just always, I get so tickled because guys like, oh man, yeah, I totally would take her out. I'm like, dude, wait a minute. She's got to agree to go out. Otherwise, it's called abduction.
Right, yeah. Is there anything that's kind of off limits for you? Like anything that maybe the kids are like,
There are things. That's a great question. There are things that are off limits. Obviously very, very personal stuff. People I don't do jokes about. Or if any of the family members asked me not to do something, I would. I've been very good about walking that line. You know, the only time I've ever been asked not to do a joke was my daughter. She was in high school, and she said, okay, enough. And I said, what? And she goes, some kid I don't even know walked up to me and said, hey, I heard your dad talking about your underwear on the radio.
Oh, no.
And yeah. I get it. As a junior in high school and you're a girl, you really don't want that.
It is
horrifying.
It's a very tender time for us, Bill. It really was. And, they do something, and then they have to immediately turn to you and say, Dad, you are not allowed to use that, you know?
By the way, I don't know if you all just heard this, but Faith just said, it's a very tender time for us, as if she's still a junior in high school.
You know what?
I don't age, you know?
She does not age. I can tell you that, Bill. She is forever at least 21.
Uh-huh. You know it.
Dude, you must really be in the doghouse.
All the time. Yeah. Plus, he's got two teenage daughters, so yeah. I relate to them, and I'm always on their side.
But let me say this, that, you know, the kids have also enjoyed the perks of the business.
Oh,
I mean,
of course they have.
Go to nice colleges and
live in a nice house.
Live in a nice house, have food on the table every day. So, you know, they get it.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, and even with Gail, you know, my wife, there's certain things that, you know, she'll say, please don't talk about this. And I'm like, all right, you know, because there's plenty of other stuff. You know?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, stuff like the Facebook stuff and all that, she don't care about that. But, you know, it's like you don't want people walking up to you on the street and going, hey, so, you know, you're having this kind of issues. You know?
Yeah. Social media could definitely be a terror in your life, trust me.
I'm going to tell you something. That's the death of society right there. That and cell phones.
Let me ask you this. You went on tour with the Blue Collar Comedy Tour many times. You know those guys really well. And you talk about keeping it clean. Was there ever a point or ever a moment on stage where Larry or Jeff or Ron dropped a joke and you went, oh my God,
we're gonna get in trouble for this?
Never with Jeff, daily with Ron. The deal with Larry was it was like a 9-year-old with money.
Yeah,
you know, it was like, so you kind of expected it from him, but Larry is one of those guys, he's like when a little kid cusses at the dinner table. Everybody, instead of being offended, everybody finds it really funny.
Right.
He's the eternal 16-year-old, really.
Yeah, Jeff and I used to joke about, we'd stand on the side of the stage, and we both would say, if either one of us did that material, people would look at us like, what, have you lost your mind?
Yeah.
But people just buy it from him, and it's a wonderful gift that he has. And Ron is kind of, I will say this, though, of all four of us, when everybody's on their A game, Ron's the only one I would pay money to watch.
Oh.
He's just hysterical.
He is funny, and from what I understand, everything that Ron does is Ron. It's real. He's not telling lies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's, and of course, you know, that's the other thing with Larry. Larry's who he is. I mean, that's Larry. He got married on four-wheelers and... After the wedding, they shot off M-80s into a farm pond. I mean, that was his idea of a wedding. That was the thing about that show, was it just was the perfect storm. I mean, it was, everybody meshed really well. We appealed to a demographic that had been largely overlooked. And, you know, everybody always asks if we're getting back together, and I always try to gently say, you know, sometimes you need to leave them wanting more. Right, as of right now, we're probably not. But I, like I said, I never say never.
Now, you did talk about social media a bit and technology. And, you know, you're smart enough to realize this is the world we live in now, and you kind of have to be a part of it.
There's a great anonymity wall. In other words, that, you know, Joe Loves Pickles 22 can sit here and tell me that my album sucks. But he won't walk up to me in the grocery store and say that.
Exactly.
You know? And I just feel like, I just think this whole, our whole need for this 24-hour, 7-day-a-week news feed. You know, I look at, like, Facebook, and it used to be, that's how you kept up with your college friends and stuff. And now it's just posts for everybody to express their political views.
See if they can be a star, you know.
See if they can be a star. You know, like a great example, my little partner, Emma Slater, off Dancing with the Stars. Her partner this year is a kid who became famous for Vine videos. And I'm like, what? Listen, there are good parts of it. I mean, you know, Amber Alerts and stuff like that you can get out.
Right.
Kids are being found quicker than ever before. But
yeah. There's
also a part that I don't like the fact that there's no repercussions
right. For
people that do bad stuff.
Well, now they're going to have a dislike button.
Well, dislike. That's like the UN. It's there, but it really doesn't.
That's not going to stop anything, right?
You know,
yeah. I think we've just lost contact as human beings.
Well, we talk about that all the time.
Yeah, I mean,
we talk about it all the time.
You know that the generation coming up behind us here, Bill, is the one that's going to be interviewing each other on their texting. They're not going to look at each other across from the desk.
Oh,
they're just going to be a texting.
Well, they don't.
I have a buddy who's in the corporate world. It is a whole different world. They don't know how to type and stuff. They can text.
They can't spell. Yeah. They can't use full sentences. There's no punctuation.
Yeah, there's.
All right, Bill Engvall, October 3rd, he is going to be at Braden Auditorium.
What I bring in there normal is a good old Bill Engvall show, and it's going to be fun. Get a chance. I'm looking forward to going to the game with the kids and then doing a show that night.
It'll be fun. We look forward to it. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. By the way, I can just imagine a line in this movie where you're playing the serial killer. You turn around and the guy goes, oh, my gosh, are you the serial killer? And you go, yeah, here's your sign.
That's it. And then I cut his head off.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I'll see you when I get there.
Thanks,
all right, Bill.
Bill.
Bye-bye.